Good morning, and welcome to our service of worship for this, the 19th day of April, the second Sunday of Easter. I am Robert Adams, and I am the minister of St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall, Ontario. As we gather, there are a couple of brief announcements for this morning. We are looking for volunteers here at the church. If you have musical talent or would be willing to read scripture or to be a greeting family for a Sunday morning broadcast, please contact us here at the church. We will walk you through the process of recording an audio or video file and sharing your file with us so that it can be included in the broadcast. It has been a blessing here at St. John's that we've had people who are willing to share their talents in worship, and we would like that to continue during this period. We are also grateful to the many households who have continued to support the work of the congregation through your offerings. You can contribute to the church by using the donate page on the website, stjohnscornwall.ca, and there you can use either electronic funds transfer or PayPal. Alternatively, you can place your check into an envelope and mail it to the church. That works too. We are a little behind in our contributions to date this year, and if you are able to help us meet this shortfall with an extra gift, that would be greatly appreciated. Finally, we welcome Alex Plant to the pulpit this morning. Alex is no stranger to the members of our congregation, but for those joining us who are not members of St. John's, Alex is a member here and is studying theology at Presbyterian College in Montreal. His plans are to become a minister in the Presbyterian Church in Canada. We are pleased to have Alex leading in worship this morning. Let us prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Good morning, and welcome to worship here at St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall, Ontario. As Reverend Adams said, my name is Alex. I've been a member here for almost 10 years. I was baptized here as a child, and my family is well known in the congregation. I'm a second-year seminary student studying in Montreal, and I'm very pleased and blessed to have such a wonderfully supportive congregation here to allow me to preach to you here this morning. Let us light the candle. And now, let us join together for a call to worship, which will be on the screens in front of you. We come from many places, following different roads.
We come hungering for greater understanding.
We come to hear the wisdom of Scripture.
We come seeking companions in faith.
We come to discover the one revealed in the breaking of the bread.
We come to grow as disciples of Christ.
Come, let us worship God, made known in Jesus Christ. And now let us come together in the prayers of approach and confession. Let us pray. God of heaven and earth, we rejoice in the hope revealed with Easter's light. Through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we see beyond all doubt that nothing exists beyond your saving power. You work within our brokenness, limitation, and loss to bring new life. You have overcome even death, promising us and all creation the power of your transforming love and the gift of new beginnings. God of resurrecting power, it is by Easter's light that we worship this day. O God, in raising Jesus from the dead, you showed us your power to defeat all that brings fear and sorrow to our lives. In his resurrection, Jesus promised to be with us always, yet we confess We are sometimes uncertain about how to find him. Like Thomas, we are unsure if we can trust the promise of resurrection for ourselves. Forgive us when we struggle with doubt about your presence with us. Breathe your Spirit upon us and bring us the peace Christ promised. Amen. Dear friends, the risen Christ is in our midst, speaking words of peace and forgiveness to us this day. Receive his gift of forgiveness. Be at peace with yourself and with one another. Amen. Let us now gather together for the time with the young and the young at heart.
Good morning. Let us get ready to hear the gospel story. Be still and know God. Be still and know God. Be still and know God. On the morning when Jesus rose from the dead, two of his followers decided to return home to Emmaus from Jerusalem. While they were traveling on the road, a stranger met them and asked, "What are you discussing?" They said to him, "You must be the only person who does not know what has happened in Jerusalem this past little while. Jesus, whom we thought was the Messiah, was killed, and he was buried in a tomb. But this morning, when the women went to tend to the body, he was gone. In fact, they saw an angel, and they said that Jesus had risen from the dead. We do not understand these things." The stranger began to walk along with them on the road. And as they walked, he talked to them. He said, "Do you not know the scriptures, what the prophets and Moses have said about the Messiah?" And he explained these things to them. They discussed all the way back to Emmaus. When they arrived near the town, the men said to the stranger, "You must come to our house and stay with us tonight. It is late." So the stranger came into their home, and he sat at the table with them. The stranger picked up the bread. He gave thanks for it. He broke it, and he gave it to the men. The stranger vanished. The men's eyes were opened, and they realized they had been speaking with Jesus. So they rose up quickly from the table and hurriedly went back to Jerusalem and found the disciples. They said to them, "The Lord is risen." And the disciples replied, "He is risen indeed." I wonder how these men felt as they told their sad story about Jesus to the stranger. I wonder how it was that they realized that the stranger was Jesus. I wonder how they felt as they hurried back to Jerusalem and said to the disciples, "He is risen." And I wonder how the disciples felt when they said, He is risen indeed. I wonder.
And now, let us gather together to hear the Word of God. Our first scripture comes from Psalm 16. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names upon my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Our second reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 1, reading verses 3 to 10. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. Our third scripture reading will come from the Gospels, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, reading verses 13 to 35. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were walking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what are you discussing with each other while you walk along? They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days? He asked them, what things? They replied, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe that all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us now take a moment to reflect upon the scriptures we have heard with the hymn, "Alleluia, Alleluia, Give Thanks to the Risen Lord." The words will be on the screen. Again, I would love to thank the members of the St. John's Presbyterian Church congregation for allowing me to preach to you this morning. It is such a blessing to have a congregation like this to come home to, spending several months in Montreal. I can imagine that a lot of you are knowing now what it's like to become physically distant from one another. I came home from school several weeks ago, having to drop everything that we were doing, our chapel services on Wednesdays, our praise and pizza nights once a month, and a lot of that stuff has now gone away. And it's been quite an interesting challenge adjusting to being home being home early, doing classes over the computer, still working on assignments, and getting those final exams in at the end of the month. I imagine a lot of you are mostly finished school, hopefully, by now, and a lot of you are now home from being at work, working on a farm, or doing whatever it is you do, traveling, vacationing, visiting friends, going to coffee shops and restaurants, and all of that stuff has now gone. With coffee shops being closed and restaurant dining rooms being closed and physical social visits are being discouraged, a lot of uncertainty and changes are being thrusted upon us. We're very thankful that we have technologies and techniques to allow us to communicate to you still, but that doesn't replace the physical one-to-one contact that we could have here at the church. And live streaming technology that we're using today is no longer just used for video game players or for lifestyle vloggers on YouTube. It's for churches, it's for businesses, educators, all sorts of people. And I can imagine the anxieties that you feel, not being able to visit family members or friends, being distant from loved ones, and I feel it as well. All of us do. And I'm reminded by what the disciples felt, and it is so fitting, the Sunday, first Sunday after Easter, how we reflect upon the events that happened after the resurrection of Christ. The disciples followed Jesus throughout all of his journeys. Many disciples left their families and their livelihoods to follow Jesus. From their first disruptions, some left their fishing boats, others left their friends and their families or their careers to follow this man, to journey throughout the known world to proclaim the good news of Christ. That alone is a huge dramatic life change. Imagine living in the family business all your life. You spent your years training to become a professional at what you do, and then a man comes up to you and says, "Come and follow me." And you feel so compelled to follow him that you give up everything that you've ever known to follow him. I can only imagine the looks on the parents' faces when they see their children just giving up their professions to follow this stranger that just happens to come upon them. A lot of things must be going through their minds. A lot of fear and panic because they don't know what they're going to do. But Jesus gives them reassurance. But this past week, we had to go through another dramatic life change. The second one, which proved to be much more tragic. Fear and panic spread as everybody ran for their lives, Jesus being arrested, being charged, and then being crucified. Peter denied Christ 3 times, despite saying that he would never abandon Christ. Jesus' best and closest disciple, Judas, betrayed him. All of these things that they had gotten used to for the past 3 years, again, suddenly changed. But this time it seemed more permanent, because as we know, death is something that is permanent. And so everything changed for the disciples because they saw the human Jesus crucified in front of them. Many people were weeping and everything changed. I was reminded in our scripture reading from Luke chapter 24 verses 20 to 21 where they recalled the chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Their hope was taken away. Jesus' disciples felt that they had lost everything. Everything that they ever knew was gone. There would be no more journeys, no more teachings, and no more miracles. Their one hope of the redemption of the people of Israel was nailed to a cross. And crucifixion was reserved for the most heinous of crimes. We're talking mass murders. We're talking the worst crimes that you can ever imagine. And Jesus Christ, who was blameless in every respect, was nailed to that cross. And so it's not just the fact that he was arrested and charged and sentenced to death, but it was the manner in which he died that was the most distressing. A public execution, which we don't see in our country anymore, and we haven't seen for decades. And yet this happened right in front of their eyes. The man that was supposed to be their one hope of redemption, their Messiah and their Savior, that was supposed to take back control for Israel, to liberate them from their oppressors, was taken away from them and appeared defeated. But as we were reminded from last week, Jesus came back to us. That's what Easter is all about. When we thought the world hit rock bottom, the Savior of the world falling to the grips of death, we were blinded by our fear and our pain. But Jesus came back and conquered death and came back to us. The hope that was once lost is now restored. And while Jesus may be physically distant, his body no longer roaming the earth, he is spiritually with us each and every day. And just like we might be physically distant from one another, I look upon the sanctuary that I'm preaching to today, and all I see are empty pews and technological equipment right in front of me. There's no one to preach to. And yet, thankfully, because of our wonderful tech crew and our tech technology, I can preach to you today. But what are we called to do at home? Because not everybody has the capabilities to live stream like this or to be physically present with each other. And a lot has happened in the Easter week that calls us to think about what has happened. Christ has died. Christ has risen again. We go from being in the darkest depths of death to the brightest heights of life. And a lot of changes are happening. A lot of new stuff is happening. A lot of old stuff is coming back. And we're wondering to ourselves, what are we doing? What do we do? First, I call upon all of us to rejoice. This is a time of celebration. Christ lives again. Christ has risen from the dead, has conquered the ultimate price of sin. No more will death hold a grip over anyone. Our Savior has triumphed over the darkest pits of death that we could even imagine. And so it is very appropriate to celebrate, albeit cautiously this year because of our current situation, but we are still called to celebrate, to be joyous, and to have hope, because Christ has risen and Christ will come again. Second, we're called to witness this resurrection. And of course, it's a bit difficult to witness the resurrection of Christ, given that we're called to be socially distant from one another, to keep our distance so that we don't spread disease, and that we can give support to our medical workers and our frontline workers that are keeping us safe. But what can we do? Because communication is so important. Jesus taught and spoke to his disciples all the time. It was quite a common occurrence. And Jesus calls us to do the same. While we might be physically distant from one another, let us not be spiritually distant. We have technologies at our disposal which can be used as great tools for ministry. Live streaming our services is one of those technologies. But you at home have tools at your disposal. Call someone. Pick up the phone and call a friend. Send an email or a text message. Check on your friends and family on messaging programs through social media. Reach out, because I'm sure that someone could really use just a simple hello, how are you? Just a simple message could really make someone's day. A lot of us are feeling fear, and a lot of us are feeling desperation. When we're entering a month into this isolation situation. But together we can get through this, remembering that we are all disciples of Christ and that Christ is with us every single step of the way. Remember that while he might be physically distant and while we may be physically distant from one another, we can be spiritually close. We have the tools at our disposal. We have a wonderfully supportive congregation. We have teams of people that have the potential to reach out. And to reach out not only to our own people, to the people of the world. I'm very thankful that there are listeners out there who are not from St. John's, who might be from Cornwall, who might be from Ontario in Canada, or maybe even from around the world. Because I know that this is a very stressful time for all of us. And each of us has a role to play. Whether it's staying at home or taking a moment to reflect on our faith. I know for me it's especially challenging because I'm no longer in the place that I knew. I'm now having to adjust my life just as all of you have to adjust your lives. But that doesn't mean that we stop being Christians. Christianity does not stay within the building that I'm standing in, but rather the church is lying within you. Christ has not resurrected the church of the building, but rather has resurrected the church of the people. And so remember that we are called to be joyful, to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, but also to witness that resurrection. I'd like to thank you again for allowing me the opportunity to preach to you today. It has been an immense blessing to have the support of this congregation here to allow me to pursue my studies in seminary. And once this situation has resolved itself to the point where we can gather again, I hope that you, the members of St. John's, are able to say hello to me. I'm able to recount my times in seminary and to be amongst you once again. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we give thanks for your sacrifice, selfless and perfect, conquering sin, death, and saving each and every one of us. We give thanks for the words of love and peace you leave us on earth. We give thanks for your loving presence with being among us. We give thanks for your endless love and compassion, calling us to live in your love, your peace, and your compassion. We pray for our leaders, both here in Canada and around the world, for Mayor Clement, Premier Ford, Prime Minister Trudeau, Governor General Payette, and Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. Make them pillars of stability in uncertain times. Grant them your voice to calm our fears, and to show your steadfast love to all peoples. We pray for the medical staff, for doctors, nurses, and cleaning staff. We pray for delivery drivers, for taxi drivers, for truck drivers. We pray for grocery store workers, restaurant workers, and farmers. We pray for utility technicians and for those who work in power plants and water treatment facilities. We pray for all the people we see and who we don't see working behind the scenes to bring the things we need. Grant them the strength and the courage they need, and to show them love through these troubling times. We pray for one another, Lord, for our families, our friends, for strangers, and for our enemies. We pray that you lift the veil of fear and panic that we find ourselves in. Grant us your peace and love and compassion. Hear us, Lord, we pray, in our spoken and unspoken prayers, as together we say in one unified voice the prayer you taught your disciples to pray, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, dear friends, as we depart from our time together, let us go virtually forth and proclaim the good news of Christ to all the peoples with the technologies granted unto us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.